Welcome back to Enter the Dojo. This is episode number 8. This is June 19, 2021. And boy, do we have a fun-filled movie adventure for you all tonight that we are probably going to spend, you know, an hour and a half getting through because we just cannot think of any other way to get through this movie. And so we are excited about it. And this week, or this month, we're going to talk about the Steven Seagal movie, Above the Law. Above the Law. And I am not going to discuss this movie by myself. It's not that I can't discuss it. It's just I just won't discuss this movie by myself. So I have with me two other Dojo members, Carrie and Shannon. How are you two?
I'm good. I'm sorry I picked this one. But you didn't we know. Well, we had to. I felt it was necessary to do at least one Steven Seagal movie, as just an example of because he is the Aikido guy and that is the martial art I practice. And this one
did not disappoint.
Oh well, I could say that I've taken a class with at least one of the guys in the movie briefly, who was in it briefly. So there's that.
There is that.
Otherwise, I feel like I should be apologizing now, and I will come up with something better next time.
I don't know. It wasn't. No, I can't lie anymore, guys. I just can't say it was great.
It was not good.
Shannon,
I'm sorry.
How are you?
Well, you know, my day started great because I went to the city today to go to see my friend who I haven't seen since before the unpleasantness, and we went to the movie theater for the first time since the unpleasantness, and I saw a great movie, saw an excellent film. And then I came home and watched this.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, I deep down, you know, I know what to expect from a Seagal movie, from, you know, one of his Johns. But somehow was still surprised
so
by this film.
So was this one that you had seen before? Because you had mentioned on the last podcast that you had seen clips of Seagal movies with your dad and maybe have seen the whole movie. Have you seen this one?
I feel like I actually, like, the movie that I walked in on him watching, like, that I had referenced, which was a month or two ago, I believe I walked in on the scene where he's on top of the car because that looked incredibly familiar.
Okay.
Yeah, where he's on top of the car with the guy and he's like, stop the car. Yeah, that guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we're watching the movie so people don't have to, I guess.
There's going to hear us talk about it for 5 minutes. All right. But we are Enter the Dojo, and we are a proud podcast on the Random Chatter Network. Go to randomchatter.com for everything you may need to know about all of our shows that we have. And Tight Beam's been going for a while now. And y'all been putting a new content pretty regularly now. I don't know anything about The Expanse because I've never seen it, unfortunately. But when I do get around to watching it, I will definitely go backlog and listen to you all.
You should there's maybe one day we'll watch the one episode in which Stephen Strait gets to use his martial arts skills because apparently Stephen Strait is a black belt.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
From what I've heard, he's done martial arts for years and his mother is an instructor based on some podcast content that they have discussed. And he had one episode where he got to beat a guy up with his bare hands and fun.
Is it the one where he gets clocked by a robot?
No. It was in season 3 when these Martians were trying to take their ship.
Oh,
and he walks
okay.
in on a guy looking for ammo, and they get into a fight, and he gets his nose broken, but he wins.
Okay.
Very fun, very scary, because Steven is a very big man. And so it's very scary to watch him beat this other man up, but very cool because you never get to see the hand-to-hand combat in the space show.
Oh, okay.
I have 5'3", and most of the guys I train with are at least a foot taller than me. So height does not scare me.
Well, he's tall but also large.
Large does not scare me either.
Well,
they just fall that much farther.
That's all right. True. I mean, I did used to throw big guys, but I'm just saying, Steven scares me a little bit.
Okay.
Well, Carrie, do you have a martial arts quote of the month?
Yes, I do. This is from the founder of Aikido, Morihei Ueshiba Sensei, a.k.a. O Sensei. Cast off limiting thoughts and return to true emptiness. Stand in the midst of the great void. This is the secret of the way of the warrior.
Nice. It's a good time now just to kind of... it's a good... If I understand this quote correctly, it's okay to just stand still sometimes.
Yes.
Just
and cast off the things that you feel are limiting to you.
Right. Stand still, cast off things, and just listen.
Yes.
And be a tree. Be a tree.
Nothing limits a tree.
Booyah. That's a straight Shannon quote, guys, right there. It's a straight Shannon martial arts quote. Nothing limits a tree. Oh. All right. So let's talk about Above the Law then. This was released. I know. It was released on April 22nd, 1988. It did not get on the DVD, though, until January 28th of 1998, so almost 10 years later. It grossed a whopping $18.8 million. Yes, Shannon.
How?
I don't know.
I have a couple questions in this section, so just be ready. Okay. But my first question is how?
It is rated R. I can see that. The runtime was an hour and 39 minutes. The actors were Steven Seagal, played Nico Toscani. Pam Grier played Dolores Jax Jackson. Henry Silva played Kurt Zagan. Ron Dean was Detective Lukic. Daniel Ferraldo played Tony Silvano. And Sharon Stone played Sarah Toscano. Yes?
Half these characters did nothing, so I don't...
I know. I
literally pointless, so who even are they? Who even are these people?
I love that.
Most of them are the bad guys, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right, so the summary. Nico learned martial arts in Japan and was in Vietnam for the CIA and is now a cop in a vice squad of Chicago. A junkie tells him about a big drug deal. However, it turns out the deal was about C4 explosives and that one of the parties was the CIA. Wait a minute, there was a junkie? Nico gets ordered to keep out of it, but can't imagine why the CIA would sell C4, so he investigates further. While risking his and his young family's life, he discovers that the CIA tries to cover its connections to drug dealers in middle America and wouldn't even stop for murder. Now, that actually sounds like a movie, but that sounds nothing like what we saw.
No. Now that you read that again, that is exactly what we saw. It just doesn't play out. In a way that's like coherent.
That's like the first half hour of the movie.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just the first half hour.
And the next hour is all the fallout from that, I guess.
So Shannon, would you like to read some facts, some short facts about this movie?
I would love to know some fun facts about this movie. Where to even begin? Oh, I didn't know he had to audition for this. Hold on. Before getting this part, Steven Seagal had to demonstrate his martial arts skills for the studios. This isn't like a vehicle. This feels like a vehicle, but it's not, so I'm learning something new every day. He physically dominated his students, which terrified the executives. They didn't know it was staged.
Oh my.
The sword fighting sequence was staged using Steven Seagal's own martial arts students. After the film opened, Aikido experienced a boom worldwide. Steven Seagal's Los Angeles dojo was struggling before the movie. Afterward, it sold out all its classes. What a shame that this was what did it. Yeah. I just got to apologize to Aikido real quick.
Hey, you know what?
Alabanza.
Hey, you know what? I've had people sign up from my dojo like, do you have martial arts experience? Yeah, I'm sorry. I used to train at Steven Seagal's dojo. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever.
Oh my.
Go on. Anyway, continue, Shannon.
Lord. Steven Seagal choreographed all the Aikido moves. Good for him. Steven Seagal personally selected every weapon seen in the film. See, that's why I'm saying it seems like a vehicle, because he seemed to have a lot of control here.
Yeah.
This is fun. Henry Silva broke Steven Seagal's nose in the final fight scene. Seagal was rushed to the hospital. The next day, Seagal was back at work. He stayed up all night icing it so he wouldn't get a black eye.
Any questions on those there, Shannon?
I know too much about this movie now.
So I left this for you, Carrie, because you are the practicing Aikido.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about some Aikido.
Okay. So the martial arts used in this film. Aikido, founded by Morihei Ueshiba Sensei, otherwise known as O Sensei. It was originally developed as a synthesis of his martial arts philosophy and religious beliefs. O Sensei's goal was to create an art that practitioners could use to defend themselves while also protecting attackers from injury. Aikido is most often translated as the way of unifying with life energy, or as the way of harmonious spirit. According to O Sensei's philosophy, the primary goal in the practice of Aikido is to overcome oneself instead of cultivating violence or aggressiveness.
Question.
Yes.
I saw Seagal cultivate violence and aggressiveness in this film.
Yeah, he does shoot a lot. O Sensei used the phrase Mata Katsu Agatsu Katsubayabi. I hope I didn't butcher that too much. True victory, final victory over oneself here and now, to refer to his principle. This principle. Aikido derives mainly from the martial art of Daito Ryu, or Aikijutsu, which began to diverge in the late 1920s, partly due to O Sensei's involvement with the Omokokyo religion. O Sensei's early students' documents bear the term Aikijutsu. Hmm. Speaking of which, Aikijutsu, or Daito Ryu, is a Japanese martial art that first became widely known in the 20th century under the headmastership of Takeda Sōkaku. My Japanese pronunciation is bad.
A lot better than mine.
Yeah. Takeda had extensive training in several martial arts, including Kashima Shiden,
say that word, Kikichi
Ryu, and Sumo, and referred to the style he taught as Daito Ryu, literally Great Eastern School. Also, although the school's traditions claim to extend back centuries in Japanese history, there are no known extant records regarding the Ryu before Takeda. Whether Takeda is regarded as either the restorer or the founder of the art is unknown. The known history of Daito Ryu begins with him. Takeda's best-known student was Morihei Ueshiba, founder of Aikido.
Wow.
And then just a note on Seagal, since this is... since he's the guy in the movie. Steven Seagal Sensei holds a rank of 7th Dan in Aikido. and is a Shihan master instructor. He holds black belts in several, holds black belts in karate, judo, and kendo. I think he's the youngest person to ever make it to Seventh Dan. It's either him or the late Donovan Waite sensei, who, though I have not ever met Seagal, Waite sensei was a super nice guy, very beautiful aikidoka, and he will be missed. He passed away this year.
I do have a question for you, and maybe you can help the audience as well that's listening. Uh-huh. That's made it this far into this movie with us. How high up is Seventh Dan in Aikido?
I don't know of any tenth. I don't know of anyone that's higher than Eighth Dan. My teacher's teacher was promoted to Eighth Dan 3 years ago.
Okay.
My teacher just got promoted to Sixth Dan last year. Or this year.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I was just curious. I didn't know how far it goes in Aikido.
At a certain point, it's like after fourth degree black belt, whether or not you get promoted is kind of political. So. I cannot corroborate the rumors, but I've heard off and on rumors about Seagal's promotion to Seventh Dan being something of a publicity thing or a political thing, but I can say that I have been fortunate to train with some of his students who are awesome.
Okay.
And I've also been fortunate to train under instructors who are unfortunately not as famous as he is, or fortunately, they don't really care so much about the limelight, but are much nicer people to be around.
Okay.
I've heard that he is. So take that as you will.
Okay. All right. So let's give our overall thoughts on this movie, Above the Law. I don't have anything written down because I don't know where my thoughts begin.
Yeah.
I know that sounds terrible, but I didn't even know what to write down for just overall thoughts. I know we had to do it because, you know, it is one of those movies that there eventually was going to be a Seagal movie down the line.
I wanted to get it out of the way.
Yeah, we probably will never do another Seagal movie. Probably, because I don't know of any that were that are any better than this. So what do you guys think of this movie? I don't even know what to think. I mean, I just don't know what to think about the movie. I didn't know what story I was watching.
There were three or four different storylines that he was kind of running down. They all kind of converged at the end, but not really.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's like you have a bunch of different ropes, and you twine them together by the end of the movie, but they're still frayed at the end, so you still don't know what's really happened. So I mean,
yeah,
it is what it is. Shannon has the most memory on this movie and the most notes on this thought. So why don't we go ahead and
Shannon.
Shannon, what do you got?
So what I wrote down was where to even begin. this movie is buck wild, which for the listeners, you should know. Earlier, Mike dropped into our chat and he's like, hey, you have a little bit more time to watch the movie. And I said, okay. And then immediately said, this movie's wild. So like, this has been my opinion since I was watching this movie. So yeah, this movie's buck wild. Like, so much just doesn't make sense. Half the movie feels unconnected from itself. I can barely tell what this is about. And my last note, because I had this thought about a half hour into the movie or so, maybe a little deeper in, this is the longest hour 40-minute movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Disney movies, so I've been watching a lot of hour, half, hour, 40 movies lately, and boy, oh boy, this certainly felt longer than that.
Yeah.
So...
Again, I'm sorry.
No, no, it's Lord. Not your fault, because have you ever seen the movie, Carrie, yourself?
I have not. The only Seagal movie I've ever actually seen is Under Siege, and I probably could have gone with that one, except that in my research, this one came up as the one that has the most Aikido in it, and there's not even that much Aikido in it.
Yeah, I was very surprised at that.
I used to joke with people that, you know, because I have a degree in cooking, that my life goal is to, you know, be like a boring version of a Seagal movie, because he was the cook in Under Siege.
I feel like he used a gun more in this movie than he did his fists and his kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there aren't a whole lot of kicks in Aikido, so that I didn't expect him to kick a whole lot.
But still, it was so. I think Shannon kind of summed it up, and I think that's how we all kind of feel. It felt very unconnected. We didn't know what was going on in the movie. We didn't know what the story. I didn't know what the story. I still don't know what the story was in the movie.
Yeah.
I just know there was something about C4. And the middle American priest in the C4 smuggling. That's
and
all I know.
There was some immigration stuff going on. There was some C4 going on. There were Nico's buddies from the CIA who were doing
the
bad things.
Dealers.
Yeah.
Right. I thought the explosion in the church, by the way, looked very campy.
Yeah.
And if I could use that word, it looked very like, it's like there's, it's, I don't remember, she didn't have a name. I knew she was dead in the movie, but it's like the explosion happens, and then all of a sudden you see like this person, like 2 seconds later, just throw themselves to the side.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I agree. The movie was just, it was all over.
Yeah.
Y'all, we're going to go through this movie quick. Favorite character in the movie, guys.
I think we all had the same one. Jax.
Jax
is awesome. Pam Grier is awesome, though.
So, I mean, everybody loves Pam Grier, so.
Yeah, she made this movie.
Yeah.
Or she kept me interested in this movie to finish it. So least favorite character in the movie.
The rest of them.
like where to even begin? You know.
This is going to be the quickest Enter the Dojo we've ever done.
Like, is it that you know, stop the car guy because he was kind of annoying? Is it Steven Seagal because
he's all over the place?
God. You'll understand
movie?
My... Yeah, like, who's the writer for this movie? Can we take a Google break? I mean, the episode's short enough. We can take a second.
I'm getting there. Hold on.
All right,
keep talking, guys.
The story was by Steven Seagal and Andrew Davis.
There's your problem right there.
It was produced by Steven Seagal and Andrew Davis.
There's your problem right there.
Okay.
I don't know about that one, Chief.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
Dang it, Warner Brothers.
What? I mean, the 80s... were an interesting time in action films. I mean, I definitely felt like I was watching... Well, no, let me put it this way, actually. I felt like I was watching a 70s movie.
Okay, and the fact that this was that this was the story and was partly written by the director, and that this is the guy who directed The Fugitive, just blows my mind.
Because The Fugitive was alright!
Whoa.
Yeah.
Above the Law received mixed reviews. Rotten Tomato gives it a 53% based on 17 critics. Audience polled at CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of B on a scale from A+ to F.
Oh, boy.
This person from the Chicago Sun-Times said it contains 50% more plot than it needs, but that it allows room to grow in areas not ordinarily covered in action thrillers. Were we watching the same movie?
I don't think so.
I'm reading some more of the fun facts. Just having a good time here. Let me find the one that I laughed at because I was like, yeah, here we go. Andrew Davis was hired to direct because Steven Seagal liked Code of Silence. And people, this is why we can't hire, you know, halfway decent directors, because we always hire the ones we just like, oh, I like that one movie they did. And that was it.
That actually kind of sounds like the way a certain person picked cabinet positions 4 years ago, but that's okay.
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to see what other fun stuff we have here.
I like reading Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes, one critic said, quote, not available.
Oh, dear.
This audience member said, this is a role of any action greats is a must. This one does not disappoint. Seagal shows off his mastery of Aikido in multiple scenes.
I need to stop you there because, and far be it from me to criticize someone who outranks me, but for two of those scenes where he actually uses Aikido, he barely has any room to move, and he managed to get off some nasty techniques, but yeah, he barely has any room to move, and if his dojo is because the dojo in the beginning of the movie is his dojo in L.A. If his dojo in L.A. is that small, no wonder he doesn't move at all, because he can't. He has no space at all. And if you see video of him now, he just doesn't go anywhere. You know, someone will attack him, and he just slaps him down. It's weird.
Now, you know, though, I will give him that the credit that when he did the moves in a closed, confined quarters, mm-hmm. I didn't thought that was interesting.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The way that he could maneuver people in the closed quarters.
Well, we do a lot of that. We do a lot of that Rondori work, where we work with multiple attackers, and you have to know where everyone is at all times, and the part of that is, you know, getting your attackers to like run into each other, which is fun. We don't necessarily do it with weapons though.
I have two fun facts here.
Oh,
uh-huh. I'll read this one first because it seems to explain a lot of things. This film has a lot in common with Andrew Davis's Code of Silence. Both movies star martial artists and are about Chicago cops, corruption, and drug lords.
Yeah.
So, Steven Seagal just... He made fan fiction the movie. Like, he liked the movie so much he made himself a Mary Sue. He made himself a Mary Sue. Now, wait, I got one more. This is a great one. Just wait till the end. It's a slow burn, but it's good. Steven Seagal chose the film from a pile of scripts Warner Brothers had been saving for Clint Eastwood. It was rewritten to focus on Seagal's actual backstory. Many of his stories have never been confirmed. I can't get enough of just the shade in the fun fact section of IMDb for this movie.
Oh yeah.
Can't get enough.
Well, let's talk about then real quick our favorite moment in the movie. Mine was when the end credits started.
There.
Anybody else? What did y'all like about the movie?
I really liked the opening scene, even though it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. For a minute, I thought I had loaded a documentary on Steven Seagal instead of the movie we were supposed to be watching. I've taken a class with the first guy that Seagal took for Ukemi in that scene, Matsuoka okay. Sensei. Who is super super nice. He is a super nice guy, and his classes were fun. I also like the alley fight, the good brief Randori, nice shoulder throw at the end, and the shop fight, also nice Randori. That Sankyo he pulled at the end was nasty. Oof, I could hear bones breaking. It was great. That actually goes a little farther than we are normally taught to go, but yeah.
Awesome. Shannon?
Okay. There was only one moment I could write here. Only one. It was the one that made me laugh. I'll read this again. I have to say, the scene where Seagal, because I could not for the life of me at the moment remember his name, and also it's just Steven Seagal. I have to say, the scene where Seagal insists Jax is dead, like the absolute melodrama of it, and she's like, fine. He just assumed she was dead. I guess we were meant to, but I was like, she's obviously alive. Like, no one even checked. She didn't get a death shot. And he's, like, looking at her childhood photos, crying.
Shit, we like, officially lost
we've,
Shannon.
We've lost Shannon.
There was no... Like, usually when a character dies, you get, like, a death shot, right? Like, a shot of them dead. Like, she just got some buckshot and fell down the steps.
Yeah.
And Seagal was like, oh, guess she's dead. Time to go to her apartment and cry. Yeah, and then he escaped the scene, so he basically left her there, which is even worse. Yeah. Like, he didn't check to see if she was alive, and then left her with the bad guys. That was when I was like, that's when I initially started laughing, when he left. I was like, wait, he's not even gonna make sure he's just gonna leave her there? And
apparently.
Then when he ran right to her apartment, turned on all the lights, sat down in front of all her photos and started crying. And I was like, this is it. This is the best moment in the movie.
Well, let me tell you, when that happened, okay, I was like, okay, so she's dead. And then when she showed back up on the hospital talking, I'm like, well, wait a minute, I thought she was dead. That was my thought. Wait a minute, I thought she was dead.
Mm-hmm. I didn't trust that 1 second. I was like, that girl's alive. She's fine. The way they shot it, it was just like, she's not dead. That woman's not dead. And then, like, just the absolute melodrama of him just sitting in her apartment alone, crying in front of all her photos. Incredible.
Oh, my. So, that was your favorite moment. Do you have any other top moments in this movie?
Yeah, well, I did my best. So I did laugh at the way he delivered, like, first of all, I did put, I love half of Seagal's deliveries in this movie because he's just so not doing the same thing everyone else is doing. So he has just these incredible deliveries of different lines. They're just so weird. But the one that made me laugh was like, C4, man. I forget exactly how he said it, but the way he said C4 man to that other cop, I was like, what in the hell is going on? He just, like, some of the ways he said, I'm trying to remember some of his other, like, goofy deliveries. Like, I think there was when he tried to be serious about what a new baby smells like, which, by the way, what? When he was like, oh, babies, the smell they have, like, they've never been touched. I was like, what is going on?
What in the world?
Like, is he the bad guy now? Or, like, the way he moved his arms in the scene with the priest bothered me so bad. How his arms were crossed, and immediately he uncrossed them to point at him, and then he crossed them immediately. Just too much. Anyway, I laughed a lot when he pushed the stop the car guy out of the garage with the car, like to his death on the subway rails. Incredible. Absolutely incredible cinema. I also said, this man took out all of the CIA's top assassins, question mark. And then, WTF is this movie? There you go.
Okay, so I did like the supermarket fight. I will say that. I liked, mentioned earlier, I liked the close quarters kind of combat that we saw. And I also added this one, too, because I really thought it was interesting. I enjoyed seeing Aikido being performed in an action movie, especially a martial arts movie. Because mm-hmm. most of the time when you see a martial arts film, it's Taekwondo, it's Jiu-Jitsu, it's Kung Fu. It's, you don't, as far as I know, outside of Steven Seagal, is there any other martial arts film that uses Aikido?
I don't think so, which is why we had to go with Seagal, because there weren't any other movies that involved Aikido.
Right, and that's one reason why I think I do appreciate is that, because most of the time when I see Aikido, I see it performed like on YouTube, watching people, or video watching people do it, but you never really see it in an, especially in a martial arts action kind of a movie. So I thought it was very interesting to be able to see that finally performed as well as it was performed in this. So, and then I enjoyed I already mentioned I enjoyed the supermarket fight. And Shannon mentioned the guy when he said C4, man. Every time I hear the word C4, I think of Chris Tucker in Rush Hour and meeting the guy about some C4 in the back of his car. C4, this guy got C4. And then, so I just every time I hear the word C4, that's what my mind goes to, is Rush Hour.
Lord.
So, anyways, did you guys have anything else for this movie?
Not really.
Oh, all right then. If that's it, Shannon is picking our next movie that we have that we're gonna watch next month. So, Shannon, what is our next movie we're gonna watch?
So, I had a hard time picking a movie. I'm not gonna lie, because A, I'm tired, and B, I just sat through this. But I was informed that one of the movies that we had talked about watching, Forbidden Kingdom, was based on a Chinese legend that I had read in college and loved. I was like, dang, I want to watch Monkey. So we're going to do Forbidden Kingdom.
Sweet.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
I do too. I like it. So, Shan, you're the only one who hasn't seen it, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to think of, I know it stars two people I know of. It stars Jackie Chan, of course. Whoop, whoop. It is kind of like she's in Jet Li. It is adapted from the Journey to the West. I'm trying to think of anybody else
isn't anyone else that I know that I recognize from it. Jackie Chan pretty much revives his drunken master shtick for the movie. Mm-hmm. Not that, that that's a bad thing, but...
But in a good way.
In a good way.
Mm-hmm. It got an okay rating for the movie, and we'll talk about it when it gets closer.
It's cheesy and fun. I don't care about I don't care about the IMDb ratings.
Right. Mm-hmm. For a clue... on this movie, the director of this movie directed the original Lion King. I believe. Oh, also the Stuart Littles.
Oh, bless up. Love Stuart Little. Love, so we're in. All right, director of Stuart Little, I'm in.
Yeah. Stuart Little, there's a movie coming out, there's an animated movie coming out this year called Blazing Samurai, that he's directing. But other than that, that was kind of it for this guy. He hasn't done a ton actually, when I looked at his directing, he directed Mr. Peabody and Sherman back in 2014. But other than that, since then, he hasn't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested in seeing this guy, and seeing this movie again for sure. All right, so that'll be next month. We'll watch The Forbidden Kingdom. And this month we watched Above the Law. So if you want to go watch the movie, I encourage you to go out and find it somewhere. Just if you do find it and you do watch it, please do not pay money to watch it at all.
I was upset. I had to spend money because I could not get it fast enough the bad way.
The bad way.
So I had to spend $3 on this movie.
I'm sorry, Shannon. You should have messaged me. I could have set you up.
I didn't have a lot of time.
It's okay.
Anyways, this has been Enter the Dojo, and until next month, stay safe, stay cool, because it's hot around a lot of places where we're at right now.
And don't forget to bow out.
And
stay below the law.
And stay below the law, or just right Please. On the law, or just right on the law.
Yeah,
don't go above it. You're not better than that.
Please
and
don't
go looking for drug dealers to take out with machetes and guns. It's just not a whole thing. Not something you really want to go for. So, all right, everybody, take care, and we'll see you next month.